कृपया ध्यान दीजिए, द लैंग्वेज यूज ऑन द पॉडकास्ट मे नॉट बी फिट फॉर कंजम्पशन. वी वॉर्न यू, ट्रेड केयरफुली. बट लिसन यार, डोंट बी सो कंजर्वेटिव. Cock and Bull's the name of the show. People ask me what pains you. Well, Indian weddings are now one of the, I would say, after dysentery, diarrhea, and perhaps chronic tonsillitis, one of the worst bimaris you can get. And I say this because there was a wedding recently in Mumbai, a big one, a Bollywood wedding, and a sort of family, same Kapoor family. I won't take names, but Arman and Vedza Nisa. And a friend of mine went for all 3 days. And she was telling me that by day 3, because it's so long the process, and keep in mind the Indian guest, you have to buy the friggin' sari and the suit, and you can't repeat it, so you have to get it right. And for men, sometimes we just don't have enough if you're not into all this. So you have to go and actually go and procure 3 or 4 outfits. And by day 3, they were like, no mas. No mas is Spanish for no more, from the famous Marvin Hagler fight with Roberto Duran, from, you know, your boxing silvery. And so it was, I was just thinking, nowhere in the world will the guest come back saying, I can't do this anymore. But only in India it actually happens. The guest is worn out. He's screwed. It's called Cock and Bull. We'll be back after this break. Let's meet our guest, Papa CJ.
Hey, what's up, Cyrus?
One of India's highest, if not highest paid comedian?
No.
Don't lie, because the government's after you.
No.
Papa CJ, who's looking for a mama, CJ. So if you're out there and you want love, he's always available. But he works almost every night, so it's not fun to socialize with.
I'm happy to play.
Yeah, but early morning, is it? Yoga time is your time. Okay, Papa CJ has been nice enough to come here on our show, but we've also got Amit,
yes,
who owns this studio, and our new producer. Well, now, can't be new forever, but yeah. I don't know when this goes out, but you're sort of new.
This will be his first released episode.
Your first released episode.
Would you count Abbas's episode as your first released episode?
Okay, yeah, he would.
Yeah, that would be the first episode.
But Abbas would also be there.
No, but Abbas was telling him what to do, like press play, push your hair this way and that way while talking.
But, okay, so I guess let's not count Abbas, but Lanso and then this.
Yeah, so this is the big one. Congratulations, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're not a virgin anymore.
He's popped his cherry on this one.
You've been deflowered by Papa and me. So I'm Mama, I guess. Simple as that. Yeah, so quickly about the weddings. Yes. Isn't it a phenomenal thing, Papa? You've done a few. It's ridiculous. The Indian wedding puts pressure on you as a guest.
Listen, forget about weddings. I remember, so I'm divorced, which you know already.
Good to know.
And I had a friend.
All our ladies listening saying, yay!
I had a friend of my ex-wife's come to me once and he says, I was there for your marriage. Huh. It was amazing. Huh. I said, no. You were there for my wedding. That was amazing. I was there for my marriage. Yeah, it was not amazing.
Well put, sir.
Yeah, but it is.
But only tough. I feel his pain. You two are unmarried. So what are you laughing about?
Well, the joke is funny.
Yeah,
the joke is funny.
Yes. And we are happy that we are unmarried. Yeah.
Silvery, you're not happy. You're silvery.
No. You don't know happiness until you've been married and then been divorced.
Yeah.
Because when you're single, you're still thinking, oh, there might be something as the one.
So what you're saying is there's something beyond the orgasm. It's called divorce. Huh?
Oh yeah, because
awkward pause.
Because after the divorce, then comes the multiple orgasms.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Or not. It could be old and lonely, like me.
But it is exhausting, man. Weddings are exhausting, and this is the year.
So this is the season, right? A friend of mine was telling me, you know, and the banks were closed on one day before the wedding or something. There was some strike going on with the local banks, government sector, as you know.
Right.
And so that was a problem to take money out and then go and buy things. And I was just thinking the kind of pressure which doesn't happen in the West. Hmm. And they had 4 functions to go to. They had to attend all 4. And by the 4th one, they were finished.
Yeah.
It was worse than the best working week of the last year or something. You're just totally done.
Yeah.
Mentally scarred.
It's exhausting, dude. Homework and all that.
Yeah. Homework. You can't repeat. You got to, you know, who do you talk to? Where do you stand? What time do you get there? How do you park the car? How do you take the car out? How much can you drink? How much can you not drink? Sorry?
You're tired of talking to people.
But it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. You go to these 8
same faces. A lot of them are the same faces.
I mean, social media is worse now, yeah, because now they know what you wore the last time.
Yeah. They'll be like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No repeats.
Well, actually, I don't give a shit about that.
So, Amit, when you get married, what are you going to do?
In what sense?
Small one?
Yeah, easily.
Do the right thing.
Yeah. No,
back in America, like 20 people is like a big wedding. Nobody cares. You're all happy.
Yeah.
You know, divorce is bigger though. Papa, a lot of people come for the divorce. Well, why don't we have divorce parties anyway?
Who says we don't? Yeah, we do.
I would do.
It goes on for years. I've been celebrating since 2014.
I mean, now when you say congratulations, you really mean it. You know, it's totally different. Yeah. All right, let's go. Silvery, you're opening the account with what story?
Well, actually, let's talk about Papa's book, right, first.
Let's go into Papa's book.
Yes, he has a new book.
Every Papa has to have a good book.
Yes.
Papa, you want to tell us a little bit before we give our expert opinions?
It's called Naked. Let's have your expert opinion since you've just looked at it for the first time.
I'm looking at the torso, which looks like my friend Karthik Chintamani's, who used to be in MTV. But of course, you'll be asking me, why do I know a naked torso of a man called Chintamani anyway? So what's with the picture? For those who don't know, Papa CJ's book has himself.
That's a photograph of
a
me.
A shot of his back with hair looking like a messiah of sorts.
That's a photograph of me at a live show taken when I've taken my clothes. I do take my clothes off in the show.
So when you run out of gags, clothes off. That's my opening act.
No, the clothes off are the gags. Yeah. So I do take off my clothes in the show, and that's a shot at the Soho Theatre in London.
Wow.
But it is very strategically cropped before the love handles begin.
Yeah, fair.
So there's no Photoshop.
It's your book.
Yeah.
Who can tell you anything? Whose father has the guts? I agree with you completely. And can I just mention Russell Peters? Now, I don't know if this is the guy who does my air conditioning, or is he the guy who from Canada who does the jokes?
He's the guy who tells the jokes.
Who now does my air conditioning? That is hard. So he's written heartwarming, inspiring, and hilarious Papa CJ. That's pretty good. How do you know him?
So we've done a couple of gigs together. Mm-hmm. In fact, quite funny. The first one we did, we were taping a Showtime special in Amsterdam.
Wow.
So he was hosting. Mm. Tuesday afternoon, 4:30. Random audience has been called in. We haven't publicized it as a ticketed show. Gets up, tries to warm up the audience, and he's getting nothing.
But they're not Indians.
No, they're not Indians.
Yeah. So they all speak Dutch. They're like, what's he saying?
Exactly. Yeah. So I get on as the first comic and I struggle my way through.
Yeah.
But of course, with TV, you pause at the right time and they stick in the laughter later.
Right. It's like Parliament.
And after recording the first episode, we figured out that nobody in the front two rows spoke any English.
So then how is that?
So now you know what it's like when I do shows in Delhi. I just say Benjot all the time. Benjot! That's fun. And so Russell Peters, household name, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't pick him up at all.
Well, they didn't publicize the show. For some reason, they thought, let's just get an invited audience in. Mm. And it was pretty fuck all.
Okay, that's...
So anyway, he was card and you held his hand for a little while after that.
No, I was on as the first comic. He just warmed him up and got me on, and then I had to struggle
with
that.
He ran over as quickly as he could. Papa, they're great. You go 40 minutes. Right. So anyway, nice of him to write a little bit on the book, write on the cover itself. So what is Naked? Why is it called Naked? So, your soul.
So, two reasons. One, I used to tour a show called Naked. So, it's based on a show. Mm-hmm. But writing a book is so different from stand-up, because in stand-up, you remove every extra word, so you can get to the punchline as soon as possible. But, of course, this offers you the richness of the medium to give.
Because some of the background, I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
3 hours away, the moon was setting.
All that crap. Put in emotion. My editor said, "Tumhare kitab mein dard nahi hai." So then I had to put dard in.
You tell him it's not an ad for Pilex. What the fuck is that? Dard nahi hai. Chutya! I am a bloody comedian, not a fucking doctor. Sorry.
The idea behind Naked is that as human beings, we build walls around ourselves which hide our deepest hopes and fears and desires.
Right.
So over the course of the show and the book, I'm removing these layers metaphorically and physically in the show.
Yeah.
Exposing myself with all the vulnerability and all the pain, which is terrifying and exhilarating at the same time.
So are you one of those comics who actually talks about his personal life in reality or
in
generic
in
personal life?
In great depth. So in the show...
And specific detailing.
Yeah. I mean, to the point that 40% of the audience at some point in this show will shed a tear. It gets that intense.
Because the tickets were overpriced. My dad and me would all... That's where we go with the tears.
Because they feel sorry for the fact that...
We're eating a biryani and they...
They feel sorry for the fact that it's an 800-seater and there's 12 people in. So at some point, they're like, fuck,
you're stealing my shows. Yeah. So it's important to get that pathos as well, is it?
I think it is, because with this show, so Naked for me was different to any other stand-up I've done. Normally, I try and be like you, except sometimes I give the other person an opportunity to speak.
Yeah, fuck off!
A lot of my shit is improv. I like fucking around with the audience, just making shit up on the spot. But with this, I've got a specific story to tell. But what's worked really well in this show is that audiences have connected at an emotional level. Because
Keep talking. I just have a sneeze coming. Yeah. It's coronavirus. Who knows? You're coughing. I'm sneezing. There was a mouth gurgling happening there.
No, but that's...
Sorry. So the audience is connecting?
At an emotional level. Because at some point, I'm using the vehicle of my life, but I'm talking about the human experience.
Also, Papa, sorry to cut in, but I always think that when you do stand up...
Did you actually say sorry to cut in? Why would you be sorry, Cyrus?
I just thought
Cyrus.
It's a formal thing. That's the right name. Silvery is a new producer with a manifesto which clearly says you will not interrupt the guest. And he's going to stick a prod in my ass, which I'm beginning to enjoy. So I may interrupt the guest. When you do a 1 hour special or 45 minutes, a long time, and it's just jokes, after some time, I'm just thinking maybe the audience needs more than that. Because... So sort of one-dimensional. And sometimes the ones who have a story to tell and, you know, where, you know, there's some sort of event or something that it leads to, almost like a plot line in a sense, that seems to have more depth.
For a longer show, it's easier to carry an audience with a story. Because when you do club-level stand-up and you're doing gag, 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 after 20 minutes, the audience's head actually hurts. They get tired. So you actually have to slow the pace down so they can catch up.
So but what kind of stories do you tell? I mean, like family
he's got one. No, it's one thread.
Yeah, so this one is an autobiography.
Real thread. Real thread of his life.
But we pick up different bits. So 6 months ago, I had a massive motorcycle accident.
Okay.
I've broken my leg, broken my hand. I've got rods and plates everywhere. Almost died. But
at least you have a rod that works.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Ladies, I'm 48. I'm allowed that.
I've written a new 90-minute show about it. Okay. It's called Unbroken. And that's a beautiful part of stand-up.
Isn't that M. Night Shyamalan film as well?
Unbroken? Yeah. Unbreakable.
No, that was Unbreakable.
Damn you. Just a tense thing. I correct it.
Mr. Glass. I haven't seen that. I want to see the new...
Can we stick to Papa CJ?
I'm sorry.
The Hollywood buff.
No, but that's a fun bit about stand-up as well, because they say comedy is tragedy plus time. Even while we're getting fucked, we're thinking, dude, I'm getting humped right now, but this is going to be awesome on stage in 6 months. We're literally making notes at that point.
We met somewhere in Delhi, I think, or somewhere, you know.
You were doing a book lunch at some point.
Book lunch or something.
Yeah.
And suddenly he was telling me about his, marital issues and all that. And I was waiting for the punchline because we segued into it. But it was quite a sad story. Right. Like, not a funny story from any angle. And then I was just thinking. And he just segued into that. And then suddenly, you know, you connect better, actually, after doing 5 jokes each. When somebody tells
because
you a real
story. Was relating to the pain. He's like, I feel you, bro.
Because he actually said something to me, which is, all we meet is 2 jokes. Comedians are idiots. What you do? I do a joke, not even one-upmanship. It's like, this is the only way we know. Otherwise, we're not comedians. That stuck out in my head for a little while. I was like, oh God, okay.
But so how much, what do you guys think about that, right? I mean, like when you look at different comedy shows, what was the one that came out last year? Nanette, right? I mean, like that did this whole like funny bit and then they got into this whole serious bit, right?
Yeah.
Is this the lesbian Australian girl?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry to use the labels.
Yeah, personally, I thought it was fabulous. Yeah. I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah. And also, I don't like... why does anything have to be boxed into this is a stand-up comedy show? An audience comes in for an hour.
Yeah. Right.
As long as they leave happier or better, that's all that matters. What you do with them in that hour, as long as you can engage them, it doesn't matter.
Indians, we have a very fluid genre in any case, right? Mm. Any Manmohan Desai film has a comedy track and a lot of fighting and one sequence where the woman is wearing less clothing for whatever reason, even though it's college day. I don't know. So I think that's fine.
I picked up from that.
That's why I was wearing
less clothing. Dude, I remember I was doing a show in Chennai once.
Somehow you don't look like Zinat Aman, but the hair is a little bit there.
Sadly,
then it changes.
Why do you think I'm not facing forwards on that?
Strike that from the record.
Because nobody would buy the book. I remember doing Naked in Chennai once, supposedly conservative city. At some point, I'm down to my boxers. I go to this lady in the front row who's wearing a traditional sari, must be about 55. I give her a lap dance. Over the course of this lap dance...
What is this show?
Exactly.
I don't know, but how much did the sari cost?
Over the course of this lap dance, she spanks my ass, like really fucking hard.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, whatever, it's in the moment and stuff. Then I go back on stage. 5 minutes later, this woman gets up and walks out. And I'm pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, pehle toh mazhe le li tune, and now you're fucking walking out. Then another 5 minutes later, she walks back in. And... normally I would address it, right? But the show's got like an emotional close, so I sort of wrapped up the show.
You can't kill the moment.
I can't kill the moment. Then I meet this one at a bar later, and I asked her, I said, you know, why did you walk out? She said, you know, I was laughing, I was crying, my eyes were watering, I spanked your ass so hard my contact lenses fell out.
Now that's funny.
Dude, how hard do you have to spank somebody's eyes? How hard do you have to spank somebody with eyes to pop out?
She obviously knew the whole culture that she would spank it all. She's been there before. Somewhere in CD Amsterdam districts.
This is Chennai.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, she must have had a share of, going to these places and the other Papa CJs that are there.
And Chennai, incidentally, is a very illogical place, They've got this hospital they call Agarwal Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it was built by an eye doctor, they made the entrance to this hospital in the shape of a massive eye.
Oh yeah!
Thank God he wasn't a gynecologist, man.
It's an eye opener, in a sense. Yeah. All right. So interesting. So this is is this just the show or is it more than the show?
It's almost 5 times as much as the show.
Okay. And do you spill the beans about everything personal?
I spill the beans.
Can you tell us a couple of things?
I can tell you hundreds of things. What do you want to know? What bits do you want to know?
I love to know about all the shame and scandal and all. Like, do you open up about the marriage?
Yes, I do.
Huh? Can you, if you don't mind, see how sweet I am.
No, that's closer to the end. I'm not going to give you the end of the story.
No, just give us 1 or 2 incidents. I don't give away the...
So I can tell you about...
Because I know there's a certain linear...
Yeah,
you know,
I can tell you about divorce.
Please.
There's so many things about divorce.
Yeah.
So as you might not know, there is a membership. There's a divorce club, and there are two kinds of membership. There is a one-time payment and the monthly subscription.
Excellent. What do you advise? Huh? What do you advise is the cheaper format?
So talking about advice, there are two or three things that happen when you get divorced. One of the things that happens is people come to you and start asking you for advice.
There
relationship
See,
advice.
You just got it. Yeah.
Dude, we don't know how this shit works. I mean, it's like,
this is male ultimate respect. A divorced male. Boss, no, you're the head of the class now. You're
but
the
we don't
gun.
Know about relationships. It's like going to Arnab Goswami and asking him to teach you how to whisper. Yeah. It's like asking a South African, like, how do you win the Cricket World Cup? Yeah, no fucking clue.
Ooh. Yeah,
then people come to you and start talking to you like one guy says, oh, CJ, you're alone. You must be depressed. Mm. You should turn to religion. Right? A Christian friend. He said, you should turn to Jesus.
Yeah.
He was a great man. He came back from the dead. Yeah. I said, listen, I'm Hindu. We come back again and again and again.
And it's I like, might come back as you.
No, but people treat you differently. Yeah, as it's like the caste system. You know, you got the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. Below that, society puts murderers and rapists. Below that are divorcees.
Yeah.
Of course, below that is like Tushar Kapoor. And
the stricken from the record, along with Zina Daman. Unnecessary. Mean man. No, but take it out on him. Your anger towards her.
No, but the worst part is that you become an example to your family, a cautionary tale. I have my aunts talking to my younger nephews and cousins and telling them you should get married early. Look at CJ. He got married at the
but
age.
But they don't
of,
call you papa.
No, they said, look at CJ. He got married at the age of 33 and look at his life now. He's alone, has no responsibility, wakes up whenever he wants, travels the world, sleeps with whoever he likes. Do you want your life to end up
Yeah. So a happy ending or terrible phrase?
Half of them hate me because I brought shame on the family name. The other half are just fucking jealous. We should change those fairy tales, man. They got divorced and lived happily ever after. That's how it works.
Where do you stay right now?
I live in Delhi.
You live in Delhi.
But I'm not from Delhi, as you can tell, because I can speak in complete sentences.
Oh, absolutely. You're from Cal.
I'm from Calcutta, yeah.
Yeah. And you're from Cal, you moved to Delhi. Why not Mumbai? I mean, the entertainment center, no, I'm just asking.
So my dad was a tea planter. Head office was in Cal. And when he retired, mom and dad both had family in Delhi. So which is why.
Okay. And now you don't ever feel like rehousing.
Yeah, Delhi. In Bombay, I struggle to understand the language actually sometimes.
Yeah, there's no language.
No, because like in Delhi.
There's just...
Yeah, like Delhi, we call it bread, you call it pao. Huh. We call it piaz, you call it kanda.
Yeah.
We call it a servant quarter, you call it a 2 BHK. It's very confusing for us guys.
And the rates are almost the same.
Yeah.
So embarrassing. Yeah. All right, so all this and more can be seen in or got at Naked. Papa CJ's heartfelt account, filled with a lot of comedy, of course. Let's not act like it's some sad emotional story.
Yeah, it's got shitloads of comedy.
It's actually a funny account, but under that, it's laced with a little bit of emotion. Jane Austen comes to mind immediately.
Dard.
I see that Silvery is not interested in me.
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, just what the hell.
What?
Dard is very important. It's called depth. There's no depth then, right? That's what they tell everybody.
That's what Gautam Gambhir says.
Any last words on the book, and then we have to move on to some stories.
No, man. Just read the reviews if you think.
What do you think of other people's biographies, if you like, who don't like to, you know, tell the truth or talk about themselves? I mean, because statistics and all about the person's career is available everywhere.
Listen, I have
like your jokes can be, you know, researched and they can go on see your shows, but the other the stuff that comes from you, that's what the book's about.
See, I have written more books than I have read.
Is it?
And I've written one book.
Have you read your own book?
Huh?
That's what I do.
No, man. I can't be bothered here. No, but I think if you're writing an autobiography and it's just an ego trip saying, look at me, I'm so fucking amazing. Who wants to read that? Yeah. One of the biggest fights...
No, I'm saying they don't want to get into themselves. People are embarrassed to get into themselves, break their own wall. So then what's the point of the book?
But I think that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
Because you want the reader who's reading it. So for my reader, when they read the book, not only are they enjoying my stories, they're able to reflect on their own lives because there is that relatability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so at the start, I talk about growing up in a middle-class family, right? Now, I grew up in a house where shampoo never finished. It just magically became thinner over time.
Right.
So many of us have grown up like that. The biggest fight I had with my editor was on one chapter. She said, I don't want you to put this in because what's so special about it? It's everybody's gone through that.
What? Shampoo?
No. Shampoo, yeah.
This sounds very upper class problem. Shampoo is less today. What the hell's going wrong with society? Listen, hate Narendra Modi. What's going on? My shampoo's gone.
Listen, when we were growing up, we never used shampoo, boss. We only used soap to wash our head. Yeah.
I use nothing.
Boss, I remember.
I
remember the first time I saw conditioner. It was in boarding school. Some rich NRI kid pulls out this bottle.
Yeah.
Says, CJ, you should try this hair product. It's called conditioner.
And today he's bald and you got long hair.
No, boss. I looked at it, what was in that bottle. And let's be honest, every single guy here, the first time you see conditioner, you are not thinking that's conditioner.
Because it looks like cum.
Of course. Don't get me wrong. I admire this guy for wanting to play that prank because that bottle was fucking 6 feet big. It would have taken him 1 month to fill it up, man.
And you wanted to know what cum felt like on your hair.
Well, there's Cyrus talking to himself again.
While I have hair. All right. So that's the book. It's available.
Amazon. Yeah.
Amazon, as we say in Marathi. Mm-hmm. You can get it. Call Jeff Bezos and he'll send it to you himself. Yep. It comes here every month
with
money and books. Papa and CJ, Untold Stories.
For Piyush Goyal to abuse.
Sorry. We do not really.
Of course he did. What else did he do? He did that.
We'll get into it in a second. Piyush Goyal is the first cousin of Papa CJ, just by the way.
Okay.
Papa, is there another book on the horizon?
Yeah. There's a sequel to Naked. It's called Mere Kapde Kahan Hain Chut.
Much shorter book. All right. Time to move into our stories with our lovely editor.
Did you guys watch the Oscars?
My mother watched and kept telling me things because I was watching a woman's T20 between Australia and England.
Okay. I believe a Bengali won an Oscar, yeah?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Don't you hear this bong called Junho or something?
Oh.
You keep calling him Bong Junho.
So, best director.
Huh?
He won best. So, Parasite became the first foreign language film to win the best picture prize.
Uh-huh.
And
best
the director.
Picture also.
Best picture. Wow. And the director won the best director. The movie won.
The bong.
It won 6 Oscars in total.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's
South Korean. Finally, the world is really globalized. The Oscars going to foreigners. The main Oscars, not sound design and all, which is due respect.
Yeah,
have you guys been to South Korea?
No.
I have seen movies on South Korea. I know the country. You can ask me anything. Ask me anything you want and I will give you an answer on South Korea.
Ever been to a toilet in South Korea?
Wow, that's yes.
Because one of the most impressive things about South Korea are actually the toilets. Because you sit on the pot and right next to the pot is a fucking computer. There's a keyboard.
Right.
I went, press this button, this jet comes from the back and hits you right in the sweet spot.
And Naresh Goyal's picture as well.
Cyrus, in that second I thought to myself, South Korea should have declared war on North Korea. They should have sent a missile towards Kim Jong-un. Because if a toilet can find an asshole with such pinpoint accuracy.
I like Kim Jong-un.
Of course you do.
I just like him. There's something about him which is... I think he would make an excellent Indian politician. Really.
But that I don't know if that's what that says about Indian politicians, right?
No, listen. He, the way he killed his uncle... He took one uncle onto the tarmac and they use anti-aircraft fire, which you use for huge ships and things like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And this small guy with these huge guns.
Sort of respectful death. Huh?
No, I mean, wow.
Overkill.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a Bollywood film, you know, with no substance. It was literally that. Uncle gone.
What do you mean? It's like it's like the whole government going after a comedian for talking to an anchor on a plane.
Yes. But one second, who was the comedian and who was the anchor? By the end, I wasn't quite sure. Yeah. Has it happened to you, Papa? Sorry to segue. Have you ever been caught by a government official or for your act? Has anyone official attacked you?
No, not really. Not yet.
Not yet. Damn you.
But anyway, I travel by train. I'm a struggling comedian.
Nobody cares about that. But that means you're a leftist, so be careful. The fact that you're on a train. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Papa CJ is still with us. The book is called Naked. It costs only...
$500.
$500.
But discounted on Amazon.
And discounted on Amazon. So $499. Or something like that.
Or $414.
$414. Mm-hmm. I'll buy it tomorrow. Today I don't have the money. Take a break. Just scratching the head. Back here, Papa CJ, Amit, and a young man called Silvery, whose real name is Antriksh.
Yes. Oh, I thought we agreed we weren't going to say
it. We never mentioned it.
Okay, we
what does it mean?
Antriksh means space, like outer space.
Oh, I thought like PACE, P-A-C-E. Oh, no. So they looked at you and said outer space. Do you know what they were thinking?
Yeah, they're like, these guys are going to be spaced out.
And then the option was Silvery or Goldie. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. This is a painful childhood. We won't get into it.
No platinum in those days.
Coming soon.
Okay, next story is a YouTuber charged after his coronavirus prank forces plane to turn around. So basically this kid, a young YouTuber...
Which is, by the way, it's not Kunal Kamra.
No, it's not Kunal Kamra. Yes. Yeah. This is Canada. This happened in Canada.
And he can't travel, so yeah.
Yeah, a self-proclaimed artist from Canada created panic on board WestJet flight after announcing that he was infected with coronavirus. Basically, he entered the flight and just announced to the flight, "I just came back from Hunan province, the capital of coronavirus. I'm not feeling too well. Thank you."
Wow.
Yeah.
The ultimate doctor. What you can do for your art, in a sense.
Yeah.
Look at it from that perspective.
Yeah. He literally said after that...
the punishment is what, 70 years? In Cuba?
I think the best punishment is, firstly, it's totally not cool. And they should lock him in a room with three other guys who have coronavirus.
Right. So that the next time his story is true.
No, for a whole day, and the next day pull him out and say, "Ah, we're just fucking with you."
Yeah. That's not
play
bad.
The prank on him, dude. Yeah. Let him shit himself for a day.
That's a creative punishment. I don't mind it.
It is, I don't mind that. Yeah. I think it's fucking, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, like.
So what happened to him? Is there a consequence?
So basically, after getting caught, he said, "Any publicity for myself is good publicity," and but he was charged with. Basically, they just charged him with. On accounts with mischief and a brief.
So he can fly the airline again. But young Kunal Kamra, who just spoke for about 2 minutes politely to Mr. Goswami, cannot fly. I'll put it in perspective. This guy did this big prank on coronavirus. You all had heart attacks on the plane. People calling up, texting their wife, saying, "I'll never see you again. I love you. But, you know, I'm going to die." And this guy is off the hook in like 20 minutes. Just, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, coronavirus versus Arnav. You got to choose.
Ooh, well done. Silvery fires from his missile. He opens his account. It's through the roof. Six.
Which one's the bigger disease? Huh?
You can play the crowd.
Well played.
Huge one. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. But insane, right? The flight had to turn back, dude. I mean, like, seriously, what kind of moron does
fucking
this
dick,
shit?
Yeah. How stupid are you, dude?
I would be very upset.
Dude, I mean, and the only reason it turned back and he's got off with this because he's white, man. If he was a brown guy fucking around on a plane,
let's politicize it. So I say he was vegetarian. This guy's a terrorist. As far as
be vegan, man. You never know.
But again, in the West, this happened where?
This happened in Canada.
In Canada, there's no law issues,
What?
You can do anything. The maximum punishment, if bad jokes, Russell Peters, 4 months.
Okay.
4 months you can't tour. Or you go to Amsterdam.
If you murder somebody in Canada, all they'll do is be a little rude to you.
Yeah.
That's it.
They won't say thank you when you go to the grocery. Just give you a bag. Beat it. Have you performed in Canada, Papa?
Multiple times.
You've performed in many countries. How many countries have you performed in?
Somewhere over 25,
I've done 2. That's not bad.
In fact, one very interesting episode in Canada.
Have you performed in Pakistan? Sorry.
Huh? I was doing a gig in Toronto in a place called the Vapor Room.
Okay.
So I went to the bar. I go upstairs and there's about 50 tables. Each table has a bong on it. Bong means not a Bengali.
No, you don't. Thanks. It's good to clear that up. But what kind of country allows people to place our countrymen on the table just for fun?
So everyone's smoking marijuana. I go to the bar. I said, "Can I get a whiskey, please?" They said, "We can't give you a whiskey because we don't have an alcohol license."
Okay.
Exactly. Everyone's smoking pot. I get on stage.
And you're the comedian. It's unfair.
I get on stage, the most interesting gig ever, because you crack a joke. And then you wait.
After
40 seconds, the first guy gets it, then the fucking laugh spreads.
But normally it's a long laugh. Infectious laugh.
So a 5-minute gig goes on for half an hour there because you're literally like cracking a joke and waiting.
Go get your drink which doesn't exist, come back. Yeah, fair enough. Desi crowd or mixed crowd?
No, completely mixed. Canadian crowd.
So then you can do Indian jokes and they get it and all the ethnicity jokes and all
that? I started my career in London. My first 700 gigs were in the UK.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
So for me, I'm used to working international audiences.
This is before Brexit. Now you can't go back.
I can.
So are you a British passport holder?
No comment.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah.
You're a fucking foreigner. I can't have you in my podcast. We are very clear, Silvery, here. It's a very desi product. Okay. You know, Lisa Mishra has given up the right to go back to America. So you're a foreigner. You're safe. Mm-hmm. We can't touch you. Hence, you can make any joke you want. Yeah. All right. Gets away with murder. Okay. Sorry. Where were we?
Next one. Delhi elections counting is going on right now.
Yeah.
As we speak.
Let's be we're putting the rider here. But according to Amit, who's a cephologist, that's the right word. P is silent because when he pees, it's inside a room.
Okay.
You said 60.
58 I saw.
58, around the 60 mark.
That's the last I saw right 58 now.
58 and then 0 Kong, 0 Independence and 12 BJP.
12 BJP.
58, 12.
Let's see, just opening it again.
Let's
right
talk to the Delhi man. There's a Delhi man right here. Why am I talking?
It's now 57-13.
You just call me British, man. I'm British, British.
You're British, but you're also Delhi. So you make up your mind now. Delhi is your heart and soul.
I'm not from the Delhis.
So a quick word. On ground, they loved him, Kejriwal. On ground, for whatever little stuff he's been doing, education.
Yeah, I think the bright side is, at least in his campaign, he says, "Listen, you judge me on my work."
Yeah.
And not my accident mustache.
And he wasn't coughing through it, so we could actually understand
muffler,
what he was saying. Exactly.
But between the devil and the deep blue sea, or you think this guy is something?
You've got to pick the best of what you've got, man.
The only thing even Papa CJ feels fear. I mean, you've got to edit on the spot.
The only irritating thing about all the parties is the fucking radio ads, man. You turn on the radio and before you know it, there's this. I mean, There was a time when Cyrus was on MTV where there actually was an M in MTV. Now there's no fucking music anywhere, man. Yeah. Not on the radio, not on...
Also, I love those radio ads. I love the promos. Even in America, the promos which have this voiceover. Mm-hmm. The voiceover has that voice of God feeling to it, which is lovely, you know. Here is a slightly more bass sort of thing. It's young Amitabh Bachchan, you know, like, Kripaya Dhyan Dijiye. You know, and you get that feeling that now truth is going to come. It's lovely, beautiful. So, who did you vote for?
British, mate, British.
Yeah, you're still holding the passport.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't work in...
It's going to become blue now, mate. Blue.
South Delhi, no?
Huh?
South Delhi, boy.
Dallas, yes.
So where in the Delhi? Don't act gareeb, yaar. Come on, tell me. Where do you live in Delhi?
Where do I live? I live in Vasant Vihar.
So who was the contesting from AAP and BJP?
I don't even know, dude.
Don't lie, Papa.
I swear.
Papa, do not lie to me.
BJP would most likely win Meenakshi Lekhi, I'm guessing.
Ooh,
but I've been on the road for two... I've been home for 10 days in the last 2.5 months. I have no clue.
Who the parents vote for?
I don't know. Secret ballot, my friend. Secret ballot.
Jeez, man, this comedian. His book is called fucking Naked. Naked, I'll tell you everything, bruv. Bruv, whatever you want to know, bruv. She left me, bruv. 10,000 shows, bruv. All the bad moments are here, bruv. And I only want one question. Who did you vote? I can't tell you. I'm British. I voted to leave.
Are we talking about the marriage or are we talking about British?
Good decision either way. Yeah. All right. So, quick word, boys.
Yes.
AAP lesson in Indian politics that localized issues are different. It seems pretty clear now. And
it is a local election, right? I mean, I thought it was stupid when I saw there was a comment from somebody saying that these guys clearly don't care about anything but their local this. There was some Hindi tweet that went viral, somebody talking about the fact that that they don't care about this. They only care about making their life in Delhi good. But this is a Delhi local election. Why the hell are you
looking
at it?
Looking at it from a reverse point of view, Amit Shah got it wrong. The Shaheen Bagh envelope and all going towards that whole jingoism and...
To that point, the Delhi exit poll stated that 50% of the voters asked, where is Shaheen Bagh? And the other 50% were...
You know, Shah Rukh Khan had a house there.
Yeah, so basically nobody really knows and nobody is thinks of that as like
this
a proper issue.
This is your Papa CJ, Vasant Vihar, South Mumbai. You know, there are different worlds in India.
Right.
It's also that.
Well, it's the same in Bombay. Yeah. Somebody in South Bombay was...
Absolutely. Andheri, but in a way, it's correct. Yeah. It's not snobbish. It's correct because you've got to live in your world.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, you're patronizing when you say, you know.
The entire premise of democratic representational government is that you vote for the person...
You sound like the radio ad. And the entire purpose.
No,
but I mean, the purpose of it is that, right? You're supposed to vote for people who are going to look after your interests. When you vote on a national election, you vote on national issues. When you vote on a local election, you vote on local issues. When you vote on municipal elections, you vote on municipal issues.
Honestly, it's just sensible. It makes
sense. I mean, why would you?
That's why I'm saying Amit Shah, who's been the master tactician the last 5 to 7 years, seems to have got this one wrong, or was it just roll the dice because we don't have a choice here?
But what was the option, right? I mean, BJP is not winning on local
elections. They also didn't fire any guns initially. They were just almost silent.
Uh-huh.
And then, towards the last 2 weeks, they went hammer and tongs. And then they went with this right-wing narrative.
You've got to try and figure out some stuff.
Goli Maro.
See, once you know that you're not going to be able to... I've got to assume that they knew that they were losing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
chances of losing were strong.
Were strong, right? Yeah. At that point in time, why not energize the base?
Fair enough. So it's a gamble. It didn't... Is what you're saying?
No, I don't even think it was a gamble.
Because your name is Amit and you want to be favor of the government.
I think it was known. I think they knew this, right? And then at that point, when you know that you're not going to win...
But Manoj Tiwari... Against the run of play, Manoj Tiwari, India's greatest actor, who is going to be the CM in the BJP face. Papa's smiling, but he's watched every Bhojpuri film ever twice. And he said, exit poll sub galat hai, because he's a scientist himself. And 48 seats for BJP. He called the exact number. I remember thinking, not 47, not 49, 48. 48? Or main hoga Vidhan Sabha mein. He actually said these lines. So what would be your reaction to this?
You can say anything.
Delhi's dodged a bullet and that.
Nothing stops people from saying whatever they
want. What about the elephant in the room? No, Papa, come on, give me. Don't be silent on politics because this is your city. What happened to the Congress?
They had their own Oscars, dude.
They're
not bothered with the election. They're doing Oscar awards now, yeah.
So are they finished? I mean, this is scary. Zero in your bastion. I mean, this is the fort.
It's
scary.
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, like, you know, maybe their time has come.
Maybe they're just having a party at the Oscars, after party, and singing Apna Time Aayega.
So will Kejriwal be a face which now will become the opposition sort of face?
We don't know, right? I mean, like, this is Delhi, right? It's not like AAP has...
But everybody's asking that question now. No, but if he's won back-to-back, I know he lost in Punjab and Goa and all that.
Yeah, but where else is AAP, right? I mean, like, it's not a national party. We don't have AAP in Bombay. So you think he remains
a Delhi phenomenon? He'll remain in Delhi and that's it.
We shall see. I mean, like, you know, see, from a vote share perspective, it's not that crazy, right? It's 52 to 41. It's not like he's won like some kind of crazy landslide. I'm just looking at the thing over here. 52% AAP, 41% BJP. So it's not some crazy landslide. I mean, like,
it's a fair demarcation as well.
It's a real win. It's a real win.
It doesn't add up to 100. Yes.
No, but also it's an indicator of sentiment of the people.
It is, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in many other states, it's going to be other parties saying, listen, all of us against...
Papa, do you touch politics in your shows? Do you like to comment?
Not a lot. I do some of it, but...
Something big happens and you can't ignore it, like that.
Yeah, but it's also that if I'm not well-read enough, I'm not going to go in-depth into an issue where I don't know enough about it. Because then there are too many comics who will look at what's trending on Twitter and say something about it because they want to appear to be woke or cool.
I just check out Sonam Kapoor's handle and whatever she says, I say. We work together.
I
love Sonam Kapoor.
One of the bits about comedy is that it's very important to be authentic. If you're trying to fake something, it's not going to work.
Like Donald Trump?
He's an authentic comedian.
Authentic? As authentic as it comes. When you go to America or Canada, do you sort of read up on all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Have a little bit of political sort of blitzkrieg from time to time?
My first 15 minutes about any country will be about that country. Yeah, yeah. I do the groundwork, I read the papers, I talk to the locals, get there.
So you're disgusting. Foreign countries you care about. They say, not interested.
No, here I get the pulse anyway. I don't... See, the thing is, each person uses their art to bring change in a way that they know best. So, for example, I do free shows. I go into people's homes and hospital rooms and perform for people who've been sick.
Yeah.
Right? And I do that for free.
But without touching.
Without touching.
Because that's extra.
Depends on who it is. Yeah. So that's my way of bringing change. Some people do it politically. So you've got to do what is most authentic
to
you.
Go in that area with yellow outfits. And everybody said, go to the change, change, for fuck's sake, change. All right. Okay, enough of Delhi politics.
Yes.
We'll give you a whole political segment later in our lives because I want to see what reactions are after 3-4 days because there's a lot of emotional reactions.
Yeah, it's
for me, the biggest, Papa can comment on this, is the television anchor who now realizes this is his World Cup every election, right? And the kind of enthusiasm and aggression and just the excitement level, which sometimes watching, you're wondering, is it real? It's not Virat Kohli bringing in the cup here. Yeah. Do we have to be that happy? And they also show their alliances in a way, sometimes. The right-wing channels going this way and the so-called liberals going that way.
I think it comes through very clearly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you watch television, you can know who your channel is rooting for. I mean, like, that is not even a...
But, you know, I think also a lot of the trouble has happened over the last few years because of the left-wing. Because every time somebody from the right-wing speaks... Oh, shut up, yeah. You're racist, you're nationalist, you don't know what you're saying. So as a result, like Sun Tzu said, know thy enemy. If you may not like the words, but if you don't listen to them, you're never going to understand the underlying issues. So for example, with Brexit, a guy who's sitting in Newcastle says, boss, I've lived on this street for 40 years, I can't afford a house here, there's somebody from Europe coming earning £1 million.
Coming back to Sun Tzu.
Yes.
It's not Sun Tzu.
Who knows, yaar? I'm from the Delhi, sir. Hum to sunte hain aur so nahi bolte hain. Sun ki sun, jo bhi hai.
The Art of War. I thought it was Steve Waugh's biography the first time I took it. I was so disappointed. Okay.
But you're right. I mean, like, what happens is that political positions start to get really hardened, right? When you force people into positions of adversarial kind of discussion as opposed to some sort of kind of trying to come to some sort of understanding, you get into a position where you are like, no, fuck you. I know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I've never lived in India where people have said, oh, you have a different political opinion, we cannot be friends anymore.
Yeah.
Lifelong friendships are getting destroyed because you can't agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And
so much for democracy.
No, and my own friends are getting on saying, oh, if this is your point of view, unfriend me.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
But what is your point of view? This Sun Tzu and all these things are scaring the crap out of me. Are you killing people?
See,
you didn't like it. Laugh at my joke, uncle. Bang.
My strategy is very simple. If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with
Larry
bullshit.
David, they're enough bad-tempered comedians also. Be careful. Yeah. All right. Just coming back to them for a second. So I saw on Saturday, I was stuck in Bangalore. There's nothing to do after the thing. And I was, you know, watching TV for hours. And everybody's... And, you know, so you the anchor's actually going to the guy, the BJP guy, and saying, abhi toh har gaya, abhi kya hoga? You know, the way he said it was, what kind of question is that? I mean, you're gloating and, you know...
He's just fingering the guy.
Yeah. So you already irritated him with the manner. Forget the words. The words are least important. But your manner is like a child who said, main tere ko mara bachon. Then what's the fun? Yeah, exactly that. So I think TV anchors, all educated people, becoming the most infantile.
Loser.
That's it. That's actually the truth now. That's where it is. It's not like you're spinning it now. This is actually
that is what you see on television, right?
Yeah.
You do see that kind of...
The zeal and all. Why do they have that? I watch BBC, not to give his example from his home country.
Right.
But if you watch them, they're always moderate. in the sense that they're not trying to play their hand or show their hand to you. I go towards Labour or Conservative myself. Right. I'm just putting it out there and discussing something. But it never happens.
But then you have to turn on Channel 4 to see the truth.
Oh, is it? What's on Channel 4? Or no, with an English accent. The nation wants to know.
You're right. Fuck off, mate.
The audacity. Probably Arnob's English is better than theirs. Probably toned down a bit. Yeah, all right. We have time for one quick one.
Yeah, okay, sure. One more.
Yeah, this is slightly related to Delhi again.
Yeah.
Jamia students, another thing happened with Jamia students. They were on their way marching from the Jamia campus towards the parliament. And the police stopped them. And after an hour of standoff, the police lathi charged them. And then some kids ended up like jumping the barricades and all, and they got lathi charged, hit on the head, and ended up like quite a few of them, like about 20 people.
So if you join Jamia, basically you get definitely a degree plus you get at least one police case.
that's
in the bio.
Like, yes.
So that qualifies you for politics going forward.
Come on, Delhi boy, you explain this. This Jamia now, are they overreacting all the time? They want to protest. What happened to democracy? Let me take their side.
Yeah, for me, I kind of feel for the police a little bit. In that,
you feel for Delhi police and you're a Delhi boy.
Exactly, because I live in Delhi, right? You see these cops standing standing for hours in 40 degree heat with no chair to sit on. You see the traffic cops. And I...
No, this is now you're making it into a slightly humane social issue. I'm just talking about the Jamia or the...
No, it's fuck all, yeah. Obviously, they shouldn't be hammering students here. And it's... As a citizen who lives in the city, I want to have faith in the police because tomorrow something goes wrong in my house, they are going to be my first point of call.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to believe that their arms have been twisted to behave in a certain way and that's not how they genuinely feel. Yeah. And at some point, they're going to turn around and say, fuck you, dude, this is not cool. So I don't know if it's necessarily the police acting out the way they want to do it. They're obviously getting the pressure from somewhere. And maybe if we get to a point where the Delhi police actually reports into the Delhi Chief Minister.
Delhi police is not controlled by the Chief Minister. It's controlled by the central government.
Hopefully
hence, simple match tells me that they get their orders from either the central government or the Scootsy guy. You know, who's saying, aap deliver bhi kar lo side mein. Jamia ke piche ek bungla.
I just think it's going to be very sad if we get to a point where we start losing faith in the institutions that are supposed to be independent. Because that's where democracy dies. And...
tough question, but since you are a Delhi boy, you cannot not answer this. Do you think the student movement is more than it is that we are hearing about, this anti-CA and all that? Or it is there?
I think it is there. And
it's a serious movement.
Yeah, it's a serious movement. And the fact that the government is reacting so strongly to it, they are realizing it's a serious movement. Otherwise, why would they give a shit?
Also, I got to ask a question. Does it matter?
Because then you can have this pan-India thing going and then there'll be sort of anarchy.
Why does it matter what is the degree of genuineness on individuals?
Quantitatively.
Yeah.
Quantitatively, is it a big movement in mathematical terms? But,
There clearly are some people there, right? It's clearly not a zero. It's clearly not completely made out of thin cloth. There is clearly something there.
And Jamia and JNU are the two figureheads.
Right.
Right. It's not like Venkis is doing it, which is odd. You'd expect a little bit more happening from the other colleges as well. Not too much from the Hindus and the Stephens. A little bit, but not too much.
There is some stuff happening, you know, most colleges. I think you see stuff in colleges in Bombay and stuff like that happening as well, right? So I think that my point is that I don't know why it matters what is the degree, because the behavior that is being criticized, I'm not criticizing the underlying.
The right to protest you're talking about should not be hampered.
It should not be hampered.
Forget what the issue is.
What are the issues? Exactly, And I think that, so it doesn't really matter.
What about hecklers at a comedy show?
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Because it's the same concept. It's democracy or a comedy show.
No,
performing.
Bring them on.
But what about they're ones who are funny and you have repartee with them and the audience enjoys it.
Yeah.
They also, I've seen guys in Laughter Canvas who were drunk and abusing this Canadian comic and we had to like separate them after some time. Because they were saying fuck off and fuck you and all that and got a little out of control. There was not repartee or banter. It's like sledging in cricket, which can be funny or can be just abusing race and religion.
See, if the guy is so drunk that he doesn't know what the fuck he's saying, then
he's abusing.
Then you can't.
How do you handle that if you ever get one of those guys?
It depends on the kind of heckle I'm getting here.
So normal hecklers is lovely for you because you feed off it and you have fun.
I don't mind at all.
And the audience is always on your side because he looks obnoxious 90% of the time.
Yeah, generally you win.
Yeah.
You have a microphone.
But if he's badly behaved like Silvery here when he gets really angry. Silvery is an upcoming comic. He's performing today. Any words of advice?
Don't do it, man, unless you're prepared for a lifetime of poverty.
Oh, man.
And don't get married at the same time. Comedy and marriage is too hard.
Yeah. Oh, where's he going to get his material from then?
He's living with somebody else's wife. Yeah. All right, so again, coming back to, so the abusive and all, how do you deal with it?
So normally at a decent comedy club, they will have security. Hmm. If it gets to a point where it's disrupting the show for everyone else. Hmm. So as a comedian, there's different ways you deal with hecklers. If it's a guy, you can destroy him instantly. Hmm. Right? If it's a woman, as a male comic, I have to wait until it gets to a point where she's fucking it up for everybody else.
So there's no sympathy left for her.
Yeah, because otherwise you're the asshole. Yeah, so for example, I was doing a gig in a city called Portsmouth, one of the roughest clubs in the UK.
Google. Oh, right, UK.
South Coast. And this woman was drunk out of her skull, heckling away. Oh. So my first put down was, oh, look, I'm being heckled by a woman with the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. Oh. In fact,
you Marwari bastard from Delhi, you're still coming on to this woman who's been made to you. And look at this. This is another thing he's just given us. A slice into your life.
Hang on.
You like women who don't like you. You get it?
I said she has the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. In fact, one eye is so beautiful, the other one can't stop looking at it.
Oh. But that's still not mean.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the first put down, which is nice. Yeah. Then again, she started shouting. Yeah. Then I said, ma'am, I would put you down, but my religion doesn't allow it because where I come from, cows are considered sacred.
Oh, that's a bit mean.
Level two. Then I had 400 people tell her to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So on the count of three, one of them shut the fuck up. Then she still kept yapping. Yeah. Then I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't know how to deal with you because where I come from, we don't have fat, drunk women with low self-esteem.
Oh.
Now, very rude thing to say. I would never have ever said that. If I had opened to that, people would say, what an asshole.
Right.
But by this point, she fucked it up for everybody else.
Yeah.
So at this point, her husband literally put her head under the table, shut her mouth, and didn't let her speak again.
Oh, I thought it was something else. Sorry. All right. Sorry.
Either way, the gig went on.
I apologize.
We were both happy. We got two shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, two shows. Two for the price of one. Yeah. All right. I think it's time for the AMAs.
We've exhausted
ourselves once again to talk about the book. Papa CJ's book is out. It's called Naked. It's on Amazon. It's a pretty heartfelt story filled with humor.
Yes.
But he opens up and tells us everything. He's naked from head to toe. You want to give us figures?
No.
Okay. AMAs. Follow me at Instagram and Twitter on Bored Brocha. I'm so bored, I need your help. I need your love. I need your touch. Okay, just follow me. All right, back here, Silvery doesn't know the rules. Only I can bring it back. I am the anointed one. Just kidding.
Okay. Hey, Cyrus and Amit. This is Kishan here, originally from Coorg, Karnataka, currently living in New York City. Cyrus says, used to have really weird and quirky news stories before, but now it has become like NDTV. The same boring news as NDTV. I mean, Abbas wants to bring wannabe John Oliver, Kunal Kamra on the show. Lol. What next? Kanhaiya Kumar and then Rahul Gandhi. What do you think is
that's
reason?
The order of comedy. The escalation is correct. Yes.
What do you think is the reason for this change in cock and bull?
Yeah, I think this is an editorial comment. So Amit, you should take this.
Sure. So
I have no idea what goes on.
I would love to have Kunal Kamra on. I would love to have Kanhaiya Kumar on. I would love to have Rahul Gandhi on.
And the captain who flew the plane. The captain who flew that. What's it called?
Well, Rahul probably has a time as well now.
Yeah, that's true. They all do. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But I think the point is...
You said we had edgy stories. What edgy stories did we have?
No, so we used to do funny stories. We used to do a lot more funnier stories.
Sillier stories.
So it is...
But you stopped it.
No, I
You stopped it.
No.
Somebody take the blame, not me.
It was me.
So Abbas,
it was you.
Abbas is no longer working here. Let's blame him.
Abbas, what's wrong with you, Abbas?
I know, man. But no, I think, you know, I do to a degree agree with the criticism.
I totally agree. I think he's spot on. I love those quirky stories.
Yeah, so I think...
Like naked man robs a house and falls asleep in bed. Somewhere in Denmark.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday this guy sent me all these things. We're going to talk about these subjects. I'm like, what the fuck? Dude, this is homework. I have to now read and all.
No, so I think it's something that we want to kind of come back to, right? Yeah. I think we want to make sure that we want to mix. We want to.
But on the other hand, I like being called NDTV.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel I'm like the last badge of liberal India. Open freedom of expression. Yeah. And very, very pretty girls. Which is a very sexist thing to say, so I will strike it off the record right now.
I think point taken. We are going to try and do stuff which is more of a mixed bag, but I don't think that we want to stop doing politically.
Plus, is a Kurgi. Kurgis carry weapons, so we don't want to take any panga.
Sure.
Fair enough. Okay. Whatever he says goes.
Yes. All right. Sure.
My good friend Chinappa had a gun. He came to MTV in 1997. He carried a gun. Came from Bangalore. He asked me. Drove down with a gun. I was like, why do you have a gun? He said, no, I thought I should keep one because we were allowed to keep weapons. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Closest I had to a weapon was my Uncle Hoshi's, indigestion problems, you know, taking somebody and let loose. All right.
I have a gun story.
Yeah, please. Quick.
So I was at this fancy farmhouse party at one point, the friend's birthday.
Gurgaon.
In Delhi. He says, oh, CJ, can you perform for a bit? I said, listen, it's not appropriate. He said, no, dude, just, I'll get some friends up, you pick on them. I said, okay. First friend he pulls up is Robert Vatra.
Oh.
So I said, Robert, I'm going to ask you some questions. So he said, if you have any questions to ask me, please ask my PSO. So I said, okay.
As in tongue in cheek or actually?
Actually.
Oh.
So I said, okay, call the guy. So he calls the guy and I said, will you tell him? So he tells him, Saab, jo bhi puchhe aap, jawab de dena. So I'm about to start and he's kind of warning slash threatening me. He says, I'm warning you, he's carrying a gun. I said, dude, this is Delhi. Everybody's carrying a gun.
What kind of person in a question answer session? Just to tell you, before you ask me anything, I'm carrying a gun. You know? Suddenly, yeah, okay, the question is, what is your name? Okay, quick, last one.
Okay, this one's called MTV Bakra from Sharda Dutter. She says, hi Cyrus, Abbas and Amit. I'm a huge fan of the show.
1 second.
I'm Abbas.
Abbas is not there. Silvery and Papa CJ. But she didn't know.
Yeah. Hi Cyrus, Silvery, Papa CJ and Amit.
You lied.
I'm a huge fan of the show and listen to it while traveling to work. One of the best memories from growing
what
up.
What if you reach work? Do you just stop? I mean, you on the 26 minute.
You pause and then you play when you're on your way back home.
Or you just take it up to work and pay for everyone.
That works too.
Yes. Sorry.
One of the best memories from growing up and MTV was the Rahul Dravid MTV Bakra episode. Oh. Dravid is such a gentleman and the whole padhai pe dhyan do thing was so funny. Wanted to ask Cyrus what he remembers from shooting that episode. What is Dravid's reaction really like? Was he mad?
He's not. He's like you said, he's a gentleman. We were shooting a Pepsi commercial in the background. He was in the trailer.
Okay.
And we did it in the lunch break. But he was a little upset. In the sense that he was shaken by the whole thing once we broke it a little bit. But they were going to do Zimbabwe in 3 days for a tour. And I remember him, he called up Nikhil because he knows Nikhil better later and said, can you ask him not to air it? It's very embarrassing, you know. But he's okay with us. But the funniest thing there, which really rattled him, which nobody talks about, is the father in that room who's acting with the daughter who's coming on to him. The father keeps calling him Sachin. And the reactions are very subtle, but that's really irritating him more than this whole thing about I love you and I want to marry you and maybe say shaadi ke wo. That's all fine. The worst thing is everyone says Sachin sun to sahi, Sachin sun to sahi. And Rahul, you know, could take on Donald at his best and Ambrose, you know, I mean Perth wicket, the ball is bouncing around his ears, no problem. He is getting rattled with that Sachin. But he's a lovely guy. He's truly a nice human being, at least whatever I've seen. What I like about him is he doesn't have chamcha. He doesn't have people around him. He's just what you see is what you get kind of guy. He's more like an Australian cricketer in that sense. You know, they may be stars, but there's no, you know, groups with them, no gangs with them. The psycho fantasy is missing. Yeah, entourage. Thanks for the you British fuck. Indian struggling with the word. We have this word too much. Mitro.
I think one of the funniest bakras was when you got that Parthiv Patel.
Oh yeah.
That was hilarious.
A driving license.
Yeah. You made him do uthak baithak on the street, holding his fucking ears. Dude,
sweetly selling.
And then
the
he called his mother. His mummy, yeah. Bakra pranam.
A sweet guy. Yeah. He didn't have his driving license, and we had the cops stop
him. 17 or something.
Yeah. Wow. 17. Yeah, exactly. He was under 18. Yeah. Just played for India.
You got pretend cops or you somehow got
pretend cops. With all the influence I have, I can't get a watchman to open the gate. You can put real cops. Amazing. Alright, I think that's all we have time for. Papa CJ, it's called Naked. Check it out. And are you touring anywhere that in the recent future?
Not.
Are you going to be in Mumbai?
No.
Just buy the fucking book, man.
Well prepared, I say. This man has come to push himself, that's for sure. Alright, cheers. Okay, catch us on any of the podcasting apps, please. We beg you, we need you. Send us your questions on Twitter, on Cyrus Says In. Or you can email us, even if you're not female, on whatcyrussays@gmail.com.